Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurava Vipracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavada Vachachari Shukari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Dadha Shivasri Gaurava Vipracharini
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Well, in one sense, it's difficult to sit and listen to what all the nice devotees say. The sincerity and the depth of thought and realization in Krishna consciousness. In one sense, it's difficult to hear that because one feels oneself to not really be worthy of it. But somehow, the devotees are so nice and sincere and so Krishna conscious that they feel like that and they express themselves like that. But on the other hand, it's wonderful appreciating the Krishna consciousness of the devotees and the depth of their realizations and their transcendental feelings. It's really wonderful. In that way, one sees really that the process of Krishna consciousness is working. Yeah, it's working because the devotees are progressing and the devotees are feeling more and appreciating more. So on the whole, I found it very, very nice. And I was meditating on also on what I should say, what might be appropriate. Even yesterday I was thinking about it and doing a little research in some lectures of Srila Prabhupada. And one thing came to mind, which actually I mentioned when I was in Lithuania some few days ago, or perhaps a week ago now. I don't know if they published that. But I was thinking about how all of us here, all of us within Srila Prabhupada's movement, we all have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada through his instructions and everything which is there within ISKCON, which is based on his instructions and has manifested from his instructions and from devotees following his instructions. So I was thinking about that and how Srila Prabhupada and his instructions and his standards and the whole process that he's given us, that we all have a relationship, a connection with Srila Prabhupada, every one of us. Even if we're not directly initiated by him, or perhaps we didn't even see him when he was present on this planet physically and when he came here to South Africa. So many years ago, 40 years ago. But still we all have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada, which is, it is like totally foundational in our lives, that our lives in Krishna consciousness, they're going on, but they're only going on the basis of Srila Prabhupada and his instructions and example, his teachings. I remember, in that regard I was remembering, when I very, very first came to our temple in London, Berry Place Temple, and I was visiting there for some days, and then one night I stayed over. The idea was to actually move in, really. So I stayed over one night, and they told me when we took rest that night, they told me that, yes, very good. We get up every day at 4 o'clock and we attend Mangalarati because Srila Prabhupada said, this is what we do. And it didn't really, it wasn't really, the implications of that were not very clear. But I was just in such a mood, I was basically just saying yes to everything that they said. So I just said, yes, very good, 4 o'clock. So then we took rest. And then they woke me up at 4 o'clock. And it was like a little, you could say, a little unbelievable. I couldn't relate with it. That, you know, am I seriously meant to get up now? Or is it just a kind of like a little pastime? Because I didn't feel like I had slept enough and like I was ready for the day. But the devotee said to me, the devotee who woke me up, he said, oh, you must get up because Prabhupada said you have to get up at 4 o'clock, before 4 o'clock, Prabhupada said. So you must get up. So it was not easy, but I had to get up because Prabhupada said. So I got up. And then I was thinking, okay, I'm up now. I've got to go to Mangalarati. They told me, Prabhupada said, you have to go to Mangalarati. Okay, so here I am. Let's go to Mangalarati, having just got up. And then they said, no, Prabhupada said, you have to take a bath first when you get up. Oh, really? I see, okay. So I went up to the bathroom, which was a couple of floors up. And there was a queue of young men waiting for the one shower. Sure. And so we gradually the queue moved forward because we were given 15 seconds. And there was someone timing it and saying, okay, in you go, and then time's up, you're next. So in I went. My time came, and in I went, and there was only one tap. And I was looking around, so I tried it, and sure enough, it was the cold tap. And I was looking around, where's the hot tap? And I stuck my head out to ask, where's the hot tap? And you know what they told me? They said, Prabhupada said, you should take a cold bath. And you've only got 10 seconds there. So anyway, I had a cold bath. Wow, what a shock to the system. All right, so now down to Mangalarati. And in those days, devotees, there were no songbooks. All you had to do to learn the various songs, you just had to listen and gradually pick it up. So there I was, my first Mangalarti, and sure, it was not easy until they started chanting Hare Krishna, I knew Hare Krishna. So then they finished the Mangalarti, and then I thought, okay, that's good. That was Mangalarti. And then I thought, okay, let me go up and sleep again. After all, you know, you need a certain amount of sleep, and I didn't get it. So I was about to go, and they told me, they said, where are you going? Prabhupada said that now we have to, after Mangalarti, we have to chant our rounds. And I didn't really know what a round was. So they got me chanting. And after a while, you know, I'd been chanting for, I don't know, half an hour or something. And then I thought, you know, this is too much. I gotta go and have some, I gotta sleep for a while. So I managed to escape and went upstairs. It was something like four floors up. And I was just about to lie down, and one of the devotees came and said, what are you doing? Prabhupada said, you can't sleep during the morning program, you must chant. So come down. So again, I had to go down. And again, I was chanting. So then in those days, there was no real deity greeting. There was no Mangala and no Guru Puja. That came along maybe a year and a half later or something like that. So, but there was a class at 7:30 perhaps, something like that. So we all sat down, and I would happen to be sitting next, or quite more or less next to the devotee who was giving class, Rabbatanandan Swami. And he was a very sort of sensitive and easily irritated devotee, although he was, you know, he was a very enthusiastic devotee also, and very good kirtan leader. So we sat down and he started, and I was sitting next to him. And then after a few minutes he stopped, and he was looking around and sniffing, like he's smelling something. And I was sitting there thinking, well, you know, what's happened now? Then he turned to me and he said, your socks smell. Because, you know, I didn't really know, well, certainly not well enough, what does cleanliness mean? So I was wearing the same socks, nice warm socks, that I'd been wearing the day before, and I think the day before that also. And in the middle of the class, or just a few minutes into the class, in front of this whole room full of devotees, he told me, Prabhupada said, you have to wear clean clothes. Go and change your socks. So I had to go and change my socks again up four floors. And then I was up there, there was no one around, and you can guess what I thought. Let me lie down again. But a devotee appeared miraculously. I said, what are you doing? Prabhupada said you have to attend the class. So off I went down to the class with clean socks on this time. So okay, then the class happened, and afterwards I didn't really know. I'd never been in a morning program before. Now, everyone got up and started moving out, and I was sitting there. I didn't know what to do. And one devotee came up to me and said, it's prasadam time. Prabhupada said, we must all take prasadam. So off we went down to take prasadam. And they served us a little halava, a few pieces of orange, and some chickpeas, like chana, sort of big chana. And the devotee serving, he gave me just a few chickpeas, and I told him, now give me some more. I mean, not a lot, but maybe 20 chickpeas an hour on my plate. And one devotee came walking over and said, Prabhu, Prabhu, Prabhupada said, you should not eat more than 9 chickpeas. Was the first and last time I ever heard that. But this devotee had that idea. Anything more than 9 chickpeas and you fall down into the mode of passion and get sort of bewildered and agitated. So we all finished prasadam and devotees got up and started leaving, and I didn't know what to do. So I just sat there, and devotee came up to me and said, Prabhu, Prabhupada said that now we must do all our service. And we must all do our service. So, okay. I didn't have any service, so they gave me a service. My service was washing the pots, big pots, and using cold water, no soap liquid, no cleansing, you know, soap of any sort, and just some Brillo pad type things. And, you know, those pots, they had really serious stuff stuck on the bottom. And underneath the bottom. And we had to scrub. And I got it, my first pot, about as clean as I thought I could get it. And the head cook walked up to me and said, Prabhu, Prabhupada said, you have to get it completely clean. So do you get the idea? If we examine our lives in Krishna consciousness, we'll see that everything that we're doing, basically, is going on the basis of what Prabhupada said. Just what to speak of reading his books and getting, there's so much information, instruction, guidance. And so it's explaining so clearly what's right and what is wrong. So, but what to speak of that? But just every moment, practically, of the day, we are doing or should be doing something which Prabhupada said to do. And that's our life, actually, in Krishna consciousness. If you analyze, you'll see that as you go through your day in Krishna consciousness, at least if you're following the process nicely, you'll find at any given moment you are doing something which Prabhupada said to do. And you're not really doing something just because you want to, or you like to, or you think you should, or it seems to be the right thing to do, something like that. And I remember then the next Sunday, it was the Sunday feast. And those Sunday feasts, they were really serious Sunday feasts. Anyway, they're serious here too. But they were really serious Sunday feasts. And I didn't want to take too much. Because, you know, I didn't want to appear to be kind of like, you know, uncultured and greedy. But the next devotee just behind me, as I was refusing some, like, an extra spoonful of this or that, the devotee said, "Prabhu." Interesting way they put it. It was like a standard thing. "Prabhu." Yes, sir. Prabhupada said that on the Sunday feast, you must eat until you waddle like a duck. So don't refuse, take more. Yeah. So I'm making this point because it's something we should think about, we should consider and see from that perspective that we are not just following a sort of a program of activities which just appeared out of nowhere. Or we're not just doing things because nothing, you know, just because we're doing them. But our whole lives in Krishna consciousness, if we are living in Krishna consciousness, then everything in our lives, everything is going on the basis of Prabhupada says, or Prabhupada said. And, you know, Kali Yuga is such a time that there's a tendency to become mechanical about things and treat things just as a routine. And Krishna consciousness can be seen, if our mind is prone to think like that, then the way of life, the whole lifestyle of Krishna consciousness, it can be seen in that sense, if you want it to be seen in that mechanical sense. We just do this, we just do that, and because it's our way, it's just the Krishna conscious way, you just do things like this or that, etc. But it's not. It's all what Prabhupada said, actually. Even right down in detail, you know, my first morning or second morning maybe, there I was up in the bathroom and I got out my toothbrush and my Colgate or whatever, Pepsodent, some sort of commercial toothpaste. And the devotee said to me, what did he say? "Prabhu, Prabhu, what are you using that for? Srila Prabhupada, this is Prabhupada's toothpaste." There's a type of toothpaste, I don't know if you're aware, a formula given by Srila Prabhupada, actually. It's salt with, I think, is it mustard oil? Anyway, I forget the details. But there is a Prabhupada toothpaste. Yeah. So even toothpaste, it was Prabhu. Prabhupada said. And like that, particularly the first day, first few days, it was just a whole succession of Prabhu. Prabhupada said. You know, that you brush your teeth like this, you take a shower like that, you dress like this, you do that, you do so many things. I don't know how many times on my first day or 2 days staying in the temple, I really don't know how many times they stopped me doing something and said to do something else because Prabhupada said, Prabhu. Seriously, it could have been 50 times, something like that. So we should think in these terms. We understand, in fact, it's a GBC resolution, but it's just a fact that Srila Prabhupada is the primary Siksha Guru for everyone within ISKCON. Siksha Guru, in that his instructions are the foundations of our lives in so many ways, and actually in every way, in fact, if we are practicing properly. So in that sense, Srila Prabhupada, we all have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada, and it's very real. It's very real on the basis of his instructions, which are actually, you know, they are the things, the laws or the standards by which we do everything in Krishna consciousness, literally. If you're offering arti, you're doing it according to a standard given by Prabhupada. If you're offering food on the altar, same thing. If you're leading kirtan, same thing. It's and doing service. All the services we do are services which Prabhupada gave. Yeah. So we should try to be conscious like that, and not too much on automatic pilot, just doing things in a routine type of way, or in a thoughtless type of way, automatic type of way. We should try and do things consciously. And from that perspective, seeing from that perspective that this, what I'm doing right now, at any given moment, that this is actually, this was given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Now I'm doing this, I am following the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, and in that way, Prabhupada is just underpinning and supporting every single, practically, move that we make and breath that we breathe in Krishna consciousness. It's really amazing. And it's really true. And so then the question may be raised, and is raised by some, that why, if that's the case, if Srila Prabhupada has given instructions which just cover virtually every second or minute or just every aspect of our lives, where do people like me come in, and where does this program that we're having today fit in? Where does it all fit in to our lives if everything is just going on the basis of what Prabhupada said? So that's a fair question, and it's an important question. And as some of you, I'm sure, are aware, some people take it that you actually don't need anyone other than Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, particularly those called Ritviks. If you don't know what that means, you don't need to find out. But yes, yeah, so where do people like me fit in? Where does this whole idea of being initiated in ISKCON by a living spiritual master and being guided by the spiritual master, living spiritual master, where does that all fit into the picture if everything is just going on the basis of Prabhu, Prabhupada said, which it is. So it's an important question, and there is an answer. And the answer is basically, essentially, that we are all individuals. Each one of us is an individual person. Each one of us has our own individual characters and strong points and weak points and likes and dislikes, etc., etc. So, Prabhupada, of course, has given instructions covering every aspect of our lives, definitely. But the application of that in our personal contexts, this takes more than just general instruction. It takes a personalized form, type of instruction. And even for that matter, Prabhupada's given all these instructions, do this, do that, and do so many things. But under particular circumstances, what to do, how to do things, taking into consideration desha, kala, patra, the place, the time, and the prevailing circumstances, then in many cases, we need some personalized type of guidance to help us deal with situations in relevant ways, not just mechanically, but in ways which are practical. So then the spiritual master is there, that everyone is meant to accept a spiritual master. I've been doing a seminar recently in different places on Nectar of Devotion, and there's in, I think it's the sixth chapter, if I remember correctly, it's around there. There is the list of 64 rules and regulations, do's and do nots in Krishna consciousness. And the first one is, anyone know, all you knowledgeable devotees? Yes? Seek.
Take shelter,
yeah. Guru Pad Ashraya. Guru Pad Ashraya. The Guru Pad is the feet or lotus feet of the spiritual master, and Ashraya directly means to take shelter. Take shelter of the spiritual master, first point. Second, to be initiated by him. And third, to learn how to discharge activities in Krishna consciousness under his guidance, under his direction and supervision. So the necessity, so there's a great necessity of having a spiritual master to give that type of guidance for you as a person. And not just in that very broad and general sense, detailed instruction. Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion talks about general instructions and detailed instructions. So the spiritual master, being generally a person who's much more experienced in Krishna consciousness, and who knows how it works, and how to act in different situations, and deal with different situations. To have that sort of guidance and support it is very valuable for the aspiring devotees. The voice of experience and the voice of greater realization. Prabhupada, when he was traveling from India, he went through the Suez Canal, through the Mediterranean, across the Atlantic to Boston. So you can read, actually, if I remember correctly, it's in the Lilamrita, that they're on the boat. Prabhupada was associating with the captain, Dr. Pandey, and they're just in the middle of the ocean, and they had been for some days. It was just water in front, behind, on either side. There was only water and sky. And then one day, the captain walked up to Srila Prabhupada and said that in about 20 minutes or some specific period of time, let us just say 20 minutes for argument's sake, in 20 minutes, just over there, we will see land. And Prabhupada thought, how does he know that? We're just in the middle of the sea and it's just water and sky. How could he know that? But sure enough, in 20 minutes, land appeared over there. And Prabhupada said he was really surprised. How did the captain know this? But then Prabhupada said that he considered that the thing was that the captain had been on that route before many times and for a long time. And he knew the route. And he knew that at this point this will happen, at that point something else will happen, at some other point something else will happen. That type of the voice of experience. So having a spiritual master means, among a number of other things, but it means that there you have in your life the voice of experience, who has done all the things that you are currently trying to do and been through the tests, the challenges that you are going through today, and come through on the other side, having learned how to deal with these things, and what to speak of, just a greater knowledge and realization of Krishna, and what pleases Krishna, what displeases Krishna, how to please it like that. So like this, to have a spiritual master is very useful, as long as you put the spiritual master to use. Spiritual master is not just a symbolic person, or as one of my godbrothers said quite some years ago, the spiritual master is not simply the person who, when you want to eat some food, but you know you must eat prasadam and not unoffered food, bhoga. So who is the spiritual master in your life? He's the person you can offer the food to, and then it becomes prasadam. And that's the spiritual master. And that's his role in your life, is just accepting the food that you want to eat. No, we should put the spiritual master to use and really utilize the relationship and try to gain from the relationship. It doesn't necessarily mean, that we just have to, like, every day telephone the spiritual master or something in that sense. But in different ways, the spiritual master is available through writings, particularly through writings like books, and particularly through classes, going into all different aspects of Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master is available. But also the spiritual master ultimately is available to give personal input into your personal life in terms of your personal situation, and to see how, to help you see how, in my particular situation, position in life now, how I may make progress in the best ways, in ways I may not have thought of sometimes or even fairly often. So like this, having a spiritual master is something which is stressed again and again. And Srila Prabhupada, when you read his books and listen to his classes, then you see that practically more than any other point, at least one of the major, major points that Srila Prabhupada was repeatedly emphasizing again and again, was this point about accepting the spiritual master and following the instructions of the spiritual master. And he was not just one of these sort of, what would you say, opportunistic types, who he is the spiritual master and he wants you to get you to do what he wants. Therefore, he stresses you must follow the spiritual master, because basically he wants to control you. No, Prabhupada was speaking in the broad sense, in the broad sense that not just at his time, but on an ongoing basis into the future, generation after generation, this is such a foundational point to hear the spiritual master, take direction from the spiritual master, and become familiar with the instructions of the spiritual master, learn from the spiritual master, and like this, really make use, take advantage of the opportunity, of the facility of having a spiritual master. So our program today, very nice program, and we appreciate, as we said, so much what all you very nice devotees said and did, and all the amazing dramas and dances and so on and so forth. But we're here as your servant, and we know it's our duty, it's the natural duty, as the generation, the next generation becomes the current generation. We know it's our duty to act like this and try to help in this way. So we're here to try and do that. And this festival that we are having, that we've had today, it's to celebrate that. It's to celebrate our relationship. And for all of us to be able to go more deeply within our hearts, in every aspect of our lives, but beginning from within our hearts, to really go more deeply into our relationship, and working within the relationship, working on the relationship, externally, as we've been saying, by getting guidance like that, and internally through remembrance through meditation, through prayer, being connected with the spiritual master internally also. So this is Vyasa Puja. This is what Vyasa Puja is. Celebrating the relationship and stimulating us to go deeper and deeper into the relationship. And in this way, go deeper and deeper into Krishna consciousness. Deeper and deeper, or you could say higher and higher. Higher, deeper. It's the same. Yes, in this sense. So, thank you very much to our very brave, gallant team of organizers. Shankishore Prabhu, Ishwarapuri Prabhu, and I think Bhakti Yogini, it sounded, got in there. Thank you very much. It was your first go, and it was good. Well done. And thank you to all of you who wrote offerings. I know that, I think, isn't it? Not everyone yet. Not everyone got the opportunity to read their offering, but I've already read some of the other ones that weren't read out, so I'll read them all. So thank you very much for the nice offerings. And it's good for you. It's good for you to meditate on the relationship and really try to consider, what is it? What does it mean? What is the relationship? What part is it playing in my life? Prabhupada, I don't know if you've read, but the first Vyasa Puja, he just ordered the devotees. They didn't know what a Vyasa Puja was. Just write offerings about your relationship with me. And he did, and they did. Yeah. And he was not at all being, you know, like looking for flattery or anything like that in the slightest. There's just such an important part of Krishna consciousness. Just like it's so important. You know, it has really like ultimate importance to consider carefully what is our relationship with Srila Prabhupada, how it's working. But it's also very important to consider the relationship with the spiritual master and to try and go deeper into it. And this occasion is specifically for that. So thank you all very much. As I say every year, if you have questions, if you can get answers locally, they're very qualified devotees locally, if you can get answers locally, fine. If not, or if you just would like to hear something from myself, feel free to contact me and I'll reply and try and give some meaningful input as I see it. And let's carry on working together in Krishna consciousness at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, at the lotus feet of Shishimatai Gaurahari, Shishi Radha Radhanath, Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi, Giri Govardhan. Let's keep working together. And as we work together like this, as a team in Krishna consciousness, under Srila Prabhupada, the realization, the inspiration will just grow and grow. Spiritual strength will increase. And capacity to deal with situations and understand situations will increase. And like this, each of us individually will progress in very noticeable ways. And on that basis, the whole Krishna consciousness movement will progress and develop. Because it's really the progress of the development of the Krishna consciousness movement is pretty much just a reflection of the progress of the devotees. So, thank you all very much, and we wish you well for the coming year. Let us see how things go. And very good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shinatai Gaura Hari ki jai. Shri Shinatai Sachi Sutta ki jai. Shri Giri Govardhan ki jai. Go Premanande.
Acharya Soldier Sada Shri Srimad Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj Ki Jai! Shri Srimad Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj Vyas Puja Mahotsav Ki Jai! Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai! Thank you very much to everyone for staying till the final part of the program. It was an honor on Shyam Kishore Prabhu's side and mine to host you, and we hope in some way it was pleasing and nice. Please forgive us, as Maharaj said, it was our first attempt, so we humbly ask you to please forgive us for any or all these shortcomings. Every part of this program was in some way, we were supported by so many different devotees, so we thank you for your financial support, physical support, and all kinds of support. Now, as I mentioned, Maharaj will have some final kirtan. There will be some prasad, light prasad downstairs shortly. Thank you very much, and please travel safely. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.